All right, it's 6 o'clock. We will start so we can make sure we get out on time or early. Welcome everyone. Your fearless or full leader, James, is out of town this month, so you get to deal with me again. One more time. The agenda will change a little bit from what he sent out because I am not him. And because we have our new commissioner with us tonight, which we didn't expect. So we are going to start with introductions so that we know who he is and he knows who all of us are. So I'll start since I'm already going. I'm Roxanne Bayo-Crayel. I'm the SOU representative on the commission. We've already kind of met. I was chair and now I'm vice chair, or whatever they call it. Usually, when the chair is in town. So, welcome to the commission. We'll just go this way. Teresa.
And I'm a citizen volunteer on the commission.
Great. Larry Cooper, I'm the new guy, and I'm here because I've always been really interested in conservation, natural resource issues, and I have a professional background in wastewater management stuff, so it's sort of a natural fit, and I'm a very, very long time Ashland resident, and I'm happy to be here.
Yeah,
we're
glad to
welcome.
Have you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm Marion, another citizen volunteer. Also interested in conservation.
I'm Elizabeth. I'm the minute taker. I'm kind of new to the city, but I've lived in Ashland for about 8 years.
Mm-hmm. Hi, I'm Julie Smitherman. I'm water conservation specialist at the city, and I've been here for 7 years.
I'm Brian Sewell, and I'm one of the members on the Conservation Commission.
Hi, Josh.
Jamie Rosenthal. I work for Recology as a waste zero specialist. And yeah, I'm on the commission.
She's the Recology. Did you say you're the Recology representative?
Oh, I'm the Recology representative.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So she's here as Recology.
I'm Recology.
She's the entire company.
Yes. The entire company. It's on my backpack if you want to take a
look. I'm Stu Green. I'm the climate and energy analyst at the city. I was on the first ad hoc committee that helped put the plan together, and swore that I would never do the job that was created when we did that, and here I am.
He's a man of his word, or not. At some point, we might have David from the school district joining us, but I'm not sure. So welcome. There's a few other people missing tonight, but hopefully you'll get to meet them at future meetings. Next up on the agenda, we have approval of the meeting minutes. Did everyone have a chance to look at those, and are there any corrections, or would anyone like to approve them?
I move that we approve the minutes.
Second. Wink. Find it out. Yeah. Is there any discussion at all? No? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
And I'm not voting.
Yeah, you can abstain because you weren't here.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. The meeting minutes are approved. Our next regular meeting will be May 22nd. As always, if you know that you will not be able to make it, please let us know as soon as possible so that we can know that we have quorum and so that we don't waste anyone's time. Yes, James?
I won't be here.
Okay.
I'll be at the Aura Fall Convention. Wait,
here.
You won't be here?
Never mind.
Wait, Jamie is playing games with us.
I am.
I will not be here.
What is happening?
I'll be in Vancouver.
This May is a real exciting month or what? So Brian for sure won't be here. And Stu, you don't count towards quorum.
But Adam
will still miss you.
Yeah, Adam will be here that month because he's supposed to talk about something.
Yeah,
a couple things.
And Jamie is...
I'm going to, no, it's not the convention, the actual convention. It's a meeting in Salem. I think I can make it back in time for the meeting.
So Jamie will be,
I will
be a question, so that we don't put a count on you. Just
I'm pretty sure I won't have a problem. I leave Salem at 1.
Okay. If you and Brian are the only ones missing, we'll still. But we won't know about the other three that aren't here. So.
Okay.
I will let James know. Do we have any upcoming subcommittee meetings already scheduled? We probably need to schedule one for the and we'll do that later. No? Okay. Let's keep going. Any other announcements from commissioners? Is there anyone who wants to start that has an announcement? Brian, you can start.
I might have to leave a little early, but will we still have a forum if that happens?
Yes.
Okay.
We will.
How many is a quorum?
Five.
Quorum.
No, but it might make one of us might have to drive you to the hospital or the cemetery or whatever.
Or the cemetery.
I'll help.
Julie's <Yeah. laughs> got it.
In your corner.
That's your only announcement, Brian?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll try and get through the important stuff before you go. Marion, do you have any announcements?
No.
Larry?
Only to say, you know, we're in the midst of the city budget process, which affects everything that I'm sure it ever gets talked about around this table, and it's helpful to engage. I mean, the budget document is online, and even just reading the budget message, I think, can be helpful at this time, because the message is we've run out of money, we're going to have less city staff, and we're going to continue being pressed in biennia to come. And it, in my mind, at least, that's something that could inform, ultimately, you know, encouraging conservation, because every drop of water, every drop of effluent that goes down the sewer costs the city money, and the city is definitely very stressed right now financially.
Thank you. Good reminder. Lisa?
No. Nothing. I got nothing.
I don't think I have anything either. It's only April. I don't think I have anything. Jamie?
I got a few things. Just a reminder that not this weekend, but the following weekend on Saturday, May 4th, is the annual Household Hazardous Waste event.
Yeah.
I believe it runs from 8 to 4:30.
What day is that? May 4th?
Yeah, Saturday, May 4th, 8 to 4:30.
At the Valley View Transfer Station?
No, it's in the Table Rock Road
the
Disposal.
White City.
Yeah, yes. White City Transfer Station. Also the same day at Valley View Transfer Station here in town is the annual FireWise event. So if you've got anything around your property that could easily ignite, that is, you know, general, like not just like wood, like actual debris from trees and bushes and things like that, leaves, you're welcome to bring it out. It's free. Just have to show your ID. And the other thing is on May 11th, North Mountain Park is hosting Rogue Valley Bird Day, and their theme is Protect Birds, Be the Solution to Plastic Pollution. So I just wanted to give you guys a heads up about that. I think it's 8 to noon. Yeah, 8 to noon. So it's just in the morning. Yeah.
And I have a question about that. Do you know, or anyone at the table know, whether the which church was it? Maybe Unitarian Church sometimes in the past has served as a local collection spot for hazardous waste for a small, you know, paying a small fee so you don't have to go
right.
travel.
Yeah, they've done that at least the last 2 years.
Yeah. Does anyone know if they're doing it this year?
I haven't heard, but I think
it's always worth checking. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I'm guessing they are going to do it again. I'd be surprised.
Yes, Brian.
So for the FireWise one, like branches that you cut up in half and stuff, you can take out there.
Like as long as they're not like big logs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sue, since you do not have a city update section, do you have any announcements?
Well, sure. There's lots to talk about. It's coming up on Bike Month for people. Bike to work week and bike to work day. Folks are in for that. I guess the only other pitch I would make right now is I'm trying to spread the word more about the home energy audit tool, which is located at EE Audit. Or wait, hang on. It's either eeaudit.ashland or ashland.eeaudit. I don't remember. I didn't have to.
Well, maybe I'll. The city domain for Ashland? Or is it?
Well, dang it. I'll look up the link and I'll give it to Luther.
Julie has an announcement.
I just, we were at Earth Day on Saturday. It was really wet.
Oh, right.
But it was so fun. We didn't have as many people come to the booth. But it was still a good day and had some good conversations with people. I did sign up for the Ride Your Bike Tour Day with RVTD, so I'm waiting to win my $50 card. All
right.
It is ashland.eeaudit.com.
EE as in
Eagle. Energy Efficiency.
Ashland what?
Ashland.eeaudit.com.
Thank you.
It's like 5 minutes and you get some recommendations on stuff you can do to your home. And also we get to build our database of housing inventory. So we know what the heck we have in Ashland. It's a challenge to know.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Anonymously, of course.
Yeah. Thank you. Any last announcements before we move on to public forum? Do we have anyone who'd like to speak in public forum? No. And Jules isn't here? Okay, let's keep going. Now we have the report and presentation on the Ashland Canal project from Julie and company.
Yeah, Kevin Caldwell. He's really the project manager of the canal project.
But I'm here to support Julie.
Yeah, well, he's here to support. Yeah, thank you.
We're here to
answer all the questions I can't.
We're here to support Julie, too.
Woo. Yeah.
Perfect.
Thank you. Appreciate you coming tonight.
No problem. So I know we've got to get moving. There's a lot of details here. I'm curious how much you guys know or have read about this already. Did you read any of the documents online that we gave a presentation to council earlier this month?
Anybody have a chance to go over that? I read the whole thing. Well, you might not want to hear what I have to say, so let's see why you make your presentation.
That's okay. I'll just go over as many of the main points as I can, and maybe hold our questions till the end this time, to just be able to get through all this. But yeah, there's a bit.
Do you think in your presentation, are you planning to, or can you summarize briefly what the opposition's points are?
Yes. If you need a clarifying question, please feel free to ask that. So in general, here we've got the canal, which is about 10,700 feet, and not all of that is actually open. Some of it is already buried, but we are looking to pipe that completely and have it all underground. Obviously, to assist with water conservation, there is quite a lot of seepage happening out there, about 23% total, which could be actually more. That was a pretty conservative number. The piping project was actually recommended in the 2012 master plan, and the AWAC, Ashland Water Advisory Committee, actually studied this quite extensively, and they recommended that it be a project in the future. And it was adopted back in 2012 by the council. So benefits, the biggest ones are to minimize water contaminants and health risks in Ashland Creek. So we get a lot of runoff into the canal, and then that ends up in Ashland Creek. And as you know, you've seen a lot of signs. I just went out there the other day, and now we've got new signs out there that can be changed easily, and it's green for it's okay, the water's good, and then they'll have a red sign for when it's bad. And we just don't want to have to do that. So this is one of the reasons why it was recommended to pipe our 2 mile section that we have control over. Again, conserving water, big deal, reduce all that loss to seepage and evaporation. Seepage is about 21%, evaporation about 2%, because it is fairly shaded through there, through the canal area. And then maximize our water resources. And what that means, right water, right use, is really use that irrigation water for irrigation. It's an irrigation supply. It is our backup water supply for drinking, but in the meantime, it's for irrigation. And so why not be able to hook up more customers to that irrigation canal instead of using potable water to irrigate our landscapes with? So that's a future goal as we move through this project. And then again, protect our drinking water source, because it is our secondary source if we have a limited source or limited supply in our reservoir. So this is the area. So I know I kind of might have showed you guys this back in November, but this is right here. This is where we take over ownership. TID owns this section here, all the way up until we get to our Starlight monitoring station. Does everyone know where that, can you see where that is? So here's Indiana Street. It's right on off of Pinecrest. So we own this entire section all the way to Terrace Street Pump Station. The dashed marks is where it's already piped, so it's already underground in those sections. Yes, Steve?
When did that piping happen? Roughly?
It's various. Some was in the 80s, but I think that bigger stretch was 60s, 70s. We could tell because it's tar-lined steel pipe.
The one on Morton, I believe, was 10 years ago?
Yeah.
This is a very small section right through there. So we back in 2010, there was a study done which really was part of what AWAC was looking at. A study was done on the actual E. coli amounts going through the canal. And the 2011 study shows coming into the canal, it starts out a lot lower than when it, and as it goes through our town, it increases. And then it ends up in Ashland Creek, which is where those big red dots are. Now we wanted to see where we are currently, and so we did some more testing all through last summer, and we found that the values had gone down quite a bit. However, it still increased gradually as it went through town. And we started out at Starlight with 54.5, and it went up to 78. So we are still accumulating some E. coli bacteria as it's gone through.
Is that per million? What's the?
It's part. Yeah, that's.
It's MPN.
MPN
per
100 milliliters.
Yeah, I think it stands for most probable number.
Number, yeah. You think it would be for something yeah. else, but it's most probable number. And we have those studies if someone wants to look at them more closely.
Do we know, like, is that dog or deer or
all of the
human
above.
Or all of the above?
Hopefully not human, but yeah.
I mean,
you never know.
Population
you got,
along there?
Well, we haven't really seen homeless, and we haven't heard a lot from residents that homeless make it up there, which is good. But definitely a lot of bear, a lot of dogs, cougars now.
No one's tried to specifically identify the source of the E. coli, just because of time and cost.
Yeah, well, I am curious. I mean, I talked with Paula Brown about this, and she kind of speculated that a lot of it was from domestic animals.
Yeah.
It would be interesting to know. I mean, I'll say something at the end regarding this.
Well,
it could make a difference.
Oh, I agree. And you know, in between that time, between 2011 and now, the doggy mutts went out along the trail. And
oh,
so,
right. That's probably made
it. Yeah, I mean, and it really shows a difference in values. However, we are still getting that pollution and that bacteria in there as it goes through town. So just some pictures to kind of point out the visual of what's going on out there. Lots of cracks in the liner, lots of areas where that water is seeping out. You can see some of the seepage up there. This part down here on the right is the worst section. It's near Lisa Lane area off of Morton. And you can see we did an analysis, and our engineers did this analysis of the entire length of the canal. And about 23% is in poor condition, which would mean this broken up liner down here. 27% is actually in fairly good condition, and even when we say good, it doesn't mean great. It's still not that good. And then the fair, again, is really not good. It's these areas where you've got the cracked liner there.
So I have a question on, is the liner like gunite concrete?
It's concrete.
Is there an impervious, like, plastic or anything under
no,
it, but
it's just
sprayed on
yeah.
cement.
Yeah, and there's no rebar, there's no plastic. Yeah. I actually have a piece of it in my house.
Oh, that's okay.
so you asked about concerns that the community has, some of our community members have, and it's the same concerns that we've had since the beginning also, and so, and some were brought up to us that we hadn't thought of, but again, impacts on the trees and vegetation that are along the canal is a concern. Many people really enjoy the aesthetic features of the water flowing, and so that's a concern that would be taken away. We've heard that it's really not a community priority, that there are other things that would be more of a priority for our community. And again, we've heard a lot from one particular group that has been formed on it, and that's more, we've heard from them that it's not a community priority. However, we've heard from a lot of other people who would disagree with that and say that it is. Homeowner access during construction, yes, that's a concern. However, we would work with each one of our homeowners to make sure that they had access to their homes. If we were working in that area, again, metal plates would go over it so they could get back into their driveways. Any city services that got disrupted, we would try to work with them as much as possible, but those are some of those concerns that are out there. You've seen, like, bridges across it. You know, obviously those bridges wouldn't be necessary anymore, so we would have to remove those, and if it was all piped underground, we probably wouldn't put those back. But we would replace fences, and that has been a concern about what would we do, and we've repaved driveways and so forth. Water efficiency, water quality, there's been a concern that's just not, people aren't really believing the studies that have been done, and so that's a bit of a challenge with our engineers and also with the previous E. coli studies. The costs are always a big issue. We do have some funding opportunities, but you know, some of that will have, you know, it's the citizens of Ashland, it's what we might have to take on. Property values. It's really hard to pinpoint how this might affect someone's property. It's going to be site-specific. Talking with realtors, they can give me an answer either way. And property values, I think what people are most concerned with are trees being removed and or losing the look of the water flowing. And they're concerned that those two things will decrease property values.
And was the issue brought up of losing the seepage for irrigating trees that won't be cut?
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
That's the thing I've heard.
Yeah, you know, that is a concern
about.
That we have also talked with those groups, talked with them to tell them, explain to them that we would hire a group of experts that would help the homeowners understand how they could water those trees that are on their property. We've been supplementing those trees for all these years. We talked about options of, could we help water those trees off of the canal as a city, or would we work with each individual homeowner to water those trees?
Is there a possible option for accessing water that people aren't already at?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yes, and that's where that right water, right place, right use comes in. And so we would want to offer more access to the canal water in that case, in order to help keep those trees alive.
Mm-hmm.
Trail access is also a big issue. There's a lot of misunderstanding about how the trail systems work. And I have another slide in here that I'll really go over with you. But in general, people are nervous about homeowners walking off the trails that are currently open. Drainage issues. Stormwater currently goes into the canal. Folks are wondering how that's going to affect the property. However, we want to create more of a natural drainage, put those in where it needs to go, in some of the tributaries like Beach Creek and Roga Creek, instead of right into the canal that then end up in Ashland Creek. Wildfire has been a concern. You know, if we did lose trees, how would that impact? Would that create a wildfire hazard? What we've heard a little bit more is that fire would be able to access from areas that currently are not accessible. So that would be a plus to it. And obviously, as a city, if we do go forward with this project, we would be monitoring those trees really closely to to make sure we weren't creating a fire hazard, because that's the last thing we want. And then privacy. If trees were to be removed, would that impact privacy from neighbor to neighbor? So that pretty much sums up a lot of the concerns, and I don't know if you guys can think of anything else. But
do you have a slide with the options, the cost,
I do.
The four options?
Yeah.
I think that
yeah.
would be good to...
So, let's see. This is some of the funding options here of what we could potentially... There's a lot of grants out there and some loans. We've heard from people who have said, hey, you're going to do this project? We have money for you. So we've heard that from up north, too, and Oregon Water Resources Department. There are several other projects like ours. This is not the first time this has been done. All over Oregon is happening, and there's funding for it. And so we would like to take advantage of that if we can.
And do you have any idea, like, about what percentage of the cost might be covered by grants and low interest loans?
I'd say most of it, given what I've seen them uh-huh. give to other
to
irrigation
other, yeah.
districts to do this, it's impressive, actually. It's covered quite a bit of it.
Mm-hmm. But we're at a point where we can't apply for those grant funding because we're waiting for the city council to tell us that we're going to move forward with the project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of, we're kind
so
of...
So we're kind of this transition point. And
so all those grant applications were uh-huh. due around this time of year.
Yeah, so what would be... So is the project on the CIP, the Capital Improvement Plan? So that's part of the budget then?
Mm-hmm.
So what
and it has been
I'm
for
sorry
a while.
To cut you off, Larry,
yeah,
but
no,
can we
sorry.
Just,
oh,
like,
sorry.
Just write questions down home to the end so that she can present, and that way everyone has a chance. Thank you.
Thank you. So I know you guys may have heard that this big number of 287 trees that need to go, that need to be removed. And that is looking at any tree that may cause a constraint. But when we went out and we walked it again, Kevin and I, along with Siskiyou Bio Survey, and we identified less than 100 trees that absolutely would need to come out if we move forward with the project. Even if we didn't move forward with option one, which is to pipe the whole thing, we would still have to remove trees because we have to maintain it. It hasn't been maintained at the level that we need to in the past, and we were at a point now where we can't do nothing. We've got to maintain it and keep those roots from breaking up the liner, as you saw before. Those are all from tree roots breaking the liner and causing the seepage. So we would have to take out trees regardless. I'm going to skip through this. This was a lot for council too. So this is the trails, and this is really important. I really want to explain this to you. CID section is different than ours. And you've heard people over on Park Street, on Holman, or Clay Street, they've blocked off the trail, right? And they won't let anybody walk on it anymore. Well, that's what people are worried is going to happen on our section. But these green sections, these are currently have trail easements on them through our Parks Department. So these are the areas that are currently open. The red has always been closed. Property owners have not allowed people to walk through their property. The green, they can legally, this easement is in perpetuity with the Parks Department. So even if they wanted to close off part of the trail, they wouldn't be allowed to because it's legally binding, but they can't. So there is only one area that is in question, and that would be up in this area right here. Currently, they allow people to walk through. They love the trail. And so Parks Department plans to work with those homeowners that live right along there to maybe open it up and get an easement for that section as well. But with this project, it's not a trails project. This has just kind of come up as we've been working on this. And people are really worried that what's happening on the TID section will happen on ours. And I don't see that happening in the same way. I am just going to get right into the options. So alternative one, replace the entire canal with a 24-inch brand new pipe. Alternative two, replace open sections of canal with a new 24-inch and 30-inch pipe and line the existing pipe sections.
What does that mean?
Kevin, you want to explain that?
It means like that percentage of the canal that's currently piped, we wouldn't remove that. we would basically put like a plastic liner inside that to kind of rehabilitate the pipe.
Those are the special engineering terms.
Like a new pipe within the old pipe?
Yes. Yeah. Instead of digging it all up and putting in a brand new pipe. Alternative three, replace the open sections of canal with a urethane underliner and new concrete channel, and then line the existing pipe sections, and the canal remains open. And then the fourth is aggressively maintain existing canal, phase the concrete repairs over the top of existing concrete canal channel, and the canal remains open. Now I'm going to show you the cost. So alternative one, cost, replacing the entire canal, estimated initial capital cost, over $3 million. Life cycle cost, about $3.4 million. Includes all the things that you see there, and our annualized O&M costs are included in that as well. So that's what it costs for us to would cost for us to maintain it each year. Lots of pros and cons to each one of these, and I don't know if I have enough time to go over that, but we've got all of this online for you on the website if you want to take a look at it. The biggest thing, pros, maximizes our water efficiency. Cons, you lose the open seasonal waterway. Again, it's important to stress that it is a seasonal waterway, and it is a municipal conveyance system. It's not a riparian area, it's not a creek. This is for a municipal purpose, for irrigation, and then also it's our drinking supply. So alternative two, it's actually more expensive than alternative one, because we have two different size pipes that we have to work with, and trying to connect those joints would be more difficult. Kevin, do you want to add anything to that?
That's it?
All right. And so, surprisingly, that actually is going to cost more if we did it that way.
And we get less,
yeah. So, again, there's pros and cons to this. It pretty much matches alternative one in pros and cons. I think the only difference is the cons is actually our highest capital cost. Alternative three, replace the open sections, line the existing pipe sections, and the canal remains open. That is quite a bit less in the initial cost at 2.4, but over a life cycle, which is what we're comparing each of these alternatives, over 60 years, that cost goes up to quite 4.3 million.
Which is more than one, again.
And the canal remains open. Pros and cons. Improves the water efficiency, 21% of the seepage, but doesn't take into account any of the evaporation. If it's open, you're still collecting those contaminants, allowing the bacteria to get into the canal and ultimately into Ashland Creek. It is our lower capital cost, but in the long run, it's the higher cost option. And then alternative four. Got a great number at the beginning, really does. But if you look at it over the life cycle, it's pretty comparable to alternative one. And with this option, minimal improvements to water efficiency, the concrete will continue to crack and seep. Yes, we'll do it in phases, but again, after you do one, you wait a little bit longer, you do another section. And by the time you're done with that insect, you got to come back and do it again. Okay, and so that's where those costs start to inflate over the life cycle.
Wouldn't you say that one is sort of status quo? It's sort of the way that the canal has been operating,
but less. So what we're saying is that we would phase in some repairs to it, but with that, we're not going to get the savings on the seepage. We're not going to get less E. coli bacteria in it, and we still will have to remove trees, and it will be less than 100, but it would be those trees that we identified, because those trees that we identified when we went out the second time, or third, fourth, fifth time, however many times we've been out there, are growing into the canal, and you just can't you just can't, we can't responsibly allow that to continue to happen. And if you look at TID section, pretty clear, you know, not completely, you know, and we're not talking about creating a 20-foot wide road or anything. We have the idea of, yes, in construction in the beginning, we're going to need to get in there, but some of those sections, that don't even have 20 feet wide. So we're going to use very small equipment to get in there, and that also is part of the cost. That's why it's going to cost so much, is that we've got to be very careful of how we're excavating out there, and if there is a way to move the pipe slightly to avoid a tree and to keep that tree, that's what we're going to do. Because we're not in the business to cut down trees. We don't want to do that. But you have to, it's a balance. We've got to find that balance between the sustainability and the future of our town and our community. Maybe a couple trees have to go because of that. It's a hard decision, so it definitely isn't something easy. And I'm glad I'm not city council having to make this decision. I just do the research. So here you can kind of see it in a whole table. I'll let that just kind of sink in with you guys there.
That's on the website?
Yep, this is all on the website. The city's main website, and then ashland.or.us/Ashland Canal. All this is on there. Here are some of the locations that are either in the process or have completed piping of their irrigation canal. And you can see some of those price tags pretty high, but a lot of that was covered by funding from the state.
When some of the loss numbers on there are ridiculous.
I know. 40% loss on the East Fork irrigation?
50%.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's, you know, we're looking at 23-ish.
And you know, so many of these are lines very similar to how ours is.
So I'm just curious, in the research process, I'm just such a numbers person. You know, I looked at that list before, and I there wasn't enough information for me to do that calculation. But if you knew in each case how much their seepage was to start with, how much it improved it, mm-hmm. then you could sort of see a per million gallon cost. And that would be interesting
to see that. Yeah, there's several reports out there. We didn't go into that depth. Yes,
yeah.
On it, and maybe we will. Kevin will do it.
Oh.
And really, that's pretty much it. That's the end of the presentation. So, if you've got questions,
so
the way that we usually do this is people have questions, we raise the hands. That way, we can make sure that everyone gets a chance. You haven't been here for our discussion about that stuff yet. So, does anyone have questions?
Does that include comments?
You have to raise your hand.
Is it nice?
Only nice comments and any kind of a question.
Steve Mason said, I will answer your questions.
If you're nice to me.
If you're nice to me, if you're not, I'm leaving and I'm going to get a beer.
So, since this might be a lengthy discussion, as I call on people for questions, if you'll just ask one question and we'll give someone else a chance to ask, and then we'll come back for people who have a lot of them. But Larry, if you want to start, then we'll go to Brian.
Okay, my question, I don't think I'll have, I want to say, really good presentation.
Thank you.
You really covered all the bases well, except for one. That's what I'm going to ask the question about. But everything else, I mean, it's a lot to take in and understand. And I spent a fair amount of time with the document when I looked at it about a week and a half ago. And I have the same reaction. I'm glad I'm not on the council having to, you know, make this decision. So the question I had, and I did talk to Paula about this, and she had an answer. I wasn't totally satisfied with it. And the question is, because these lifetime maintenance options go out so far, like 60 years, 60 to 100 years, 40 to 60, I'm concerned because the TID water right issue is still in flux. There's a real question to do with the adjudication of the water right, because some of this water comes from the Klamath Basin, and there is a right that the courts have said likely preempts the TID right, and that's the tribal right. There are two different mm-hmm. tribal rights out there. And it has been in litigation for, I mean, 40 years or so, like for people's lifetimes.
Yeah.
But it's made progress. You know, it could still go another 10, 20 years, I suppose, because they have to deal with each, you know, person with each entity with a water right along the way. But ultimately, it will impact Ashland, and there'll be some negative impact. And I think this is what Paula was saying to me, that it's really not possible to predict what that will be. And so what I'm concerned about is if we go with the best fix, we could find ourselves 20 years from now actually not saving as much water as we thought we were going to save, because there would be less water available to ditch. That is really complicated. I bow to Paula's expertise on this. She's thought it through deeper than I have, but it is a concern that I have.
It is,
and so
yeah.
The flip side of that would be, we're still losing water in the canal. Maybe we would be losing less if we get less water in the future. And I guess what I personally have tried to think about, and it's hard to sort out, is what would be the trade-off if we were more aggressive about other water conservation measures in Ashland? Like, what, you know, looking at the cost per million gallons.
No.
Yeah.
I
and you, you, yeah,
well,
good.
Absolutely.
So that's the end of my comments and questions.
Yeah,
I don't think I have anything else.
I think you bring up a really good point, and others have brought it up, and it is something that we're aware of that has come up. I see so those water rights, and I'm not a water right examiner, but this is something I would like to dive into a little bit more, do more research on. But those water rights were from 1909, and our water right is 1915, so it's not too far off. From talking to water rights examiners, even if they reduce the amount of water that they served us, that to me says it's even more important to pipe in, because
we can't afford to lose anymore.
And if they're giving us less water, we're still going to be losing 23% of that less amount of water.
He causing trouble over there.
And so really, I mean, if that were to happen, and having the municipal right, I believe that it's a lot more difficult to take our water right away completely. But again, I don't know what's going to happen, as Paula said, and she's known more about it than I have. But I just see if they were to reduce the amount of water that they're giving us, that to me makes it even more valuable and more important to have it completely piped in order to conserve and preserve as much as we possibly can, since we are getting less.
Brian?
Well, I don't have a question, but I have lengthy comments.
I have a question.
I don't want to, maybe other people should ask a question.
Have you, or has anyone seen any impact from the areas that have been piped, especially the ones that have been piped more recently? Are they areas we could look at for impact as a comparison to the areas we're looking to pipe, or are they different?
It's a really good question, and there's a couple areas, one on Morton, and we talked with the homeowners, and they said, yeah, this, you know, done 10, 15 years ago, and then we asked, well, have you noticed any trees dying, any issues there? And they said no, that the homeowners in the area have just taken care of the trees that are on their property, because mm-hmm. it is on their mm-hmm. property. So no, we actually, I mean, we have a couple of areas, and then even TID itself piped a section out in Green, like off of Green Meadows, HOA off of Tolman. Mm-hmm. You know where Orson Todd Woods mm-hmm. is and the trail starts? There's a pipe to that whole area in there. And the one thing, what they've told me is they didn't notice any major difference, except the reason why they piped it was because it was leaking into people's yards and into their houses.
Oh,
so they piped it. But they didn't do this, what we're doing mm-hmm. here. They didn't get input. They just went in there and they just piped it and done. Mm-hmm. And so nobody really mm-hmm. knew what was going on except for that neighborhood. But but now they don't have water flowing into their home and having to pump it out the front lawn.
That's good.
Risa has a question.
Well, this conversation just made me think of this. I wasn't aware of the water rights issue. But the thing that occurs to me is something, you know, we can't look into a crystal ball, but as the years go by, the climate will be affecting how much water there is for us to fight over to begin with. And it's just a curiosity to me. How that will play out, how much water will continue to flow in the next 20, 30, 60 years, and it does support the idea of whatever is there, that it's, you know, protected and conserved in every way. And it also seems possible that it could just, like, stop flowing.
Well, even in
maybe,
2014 and 2015, I mean, I remember those years, it was really extreme drought that we had here. And even then, they still had it flowing. They did have to shut it off about 2 weeks early.
That's a distal
end. Yeah. However, if we would have requested as a city, for municipal purpose, we could have put in a request and said, we still need that water to flow so that we can use it as a secondary source. There was still enough there for them to do that. It doesn't really answer your question, but it's just more of a comment on
well,
it.
Well, you can't look in a crystal ball.
Yeah,
but I just was throwing that into the mix.
Well, right,
it's just
and
curious.
And, well, it's the same thing. What if we don't get snowpack and we don't fill our reservoir?
Yeah.
You know, and so we want to secure as many sources as we can. And make sure that we have good infrastructure, you know, and if you've heard the stories, you've heard what's going on across the U.S., you know, all of our infrastructure is aging. And so this is something that you're going to see happening in the next 10, 20 years as things being improved.
Can you remind me how many months a year the canal is wet?
5 months.
Mm-hmm.
It just came on today. And it will go off probably October 1st. Depends on what we see this year. However, we've got some really good snowpack this year. As long as that melts slowly, we'll be in a good position for that to continue.
So part of why Julie's presenting tonight is because the commission was considering writing a letter of support or non-support to council and recommendation of this project. And Brian very graciously came up with a draft for us. So I kind of want to merge this presentation and question period with our discussion about how we feel about the project and the letter, so we can still ask Julie questions, but start to also kind of comment on what we think. So now might be a good time, Brian, for your comments if you want to start.
Well, in general, I'm very much in favor of option one. Three of us in this room was on the original SEEP 1. If I have one criticism of the SEEP 1 is that we did address water, I don't think. And to me, this is a very low-hanging fruit opportunity to save water. I was asked the last meeting where I volunteered to draft a letter.
You're voluntold.
And I sent it to James, Roxanne, and Stu. And I did send it to all of you because I got concerned about the rules about circulating things, but I didn't see it in the package.
It was.
In the package?
Yes.
Funny.
I totally missed it.
Yeah, I didn't know.
It was.
It's in our package today?
It's in there.
Really?
After Julie's slides, I think.
Yeah.
It might get a little lost because there's all of the slides and then there's the question and answer pages, and I think it's right after there. It's on page 43, I want to say.
Out of
44.
We started out with 9 pages of frequently asked questions, and now I think it's up to, what, 20 pages total?
20,000, it feels like.
Yeah, I know. But it's good. We got to dive in.
All
we got to ask
questions.
It's either on 43 or 44.
44.
Yeah. So anyway, James 44. Edited a little bit. And I just think with the issues that we're seeing with water in recent years and that are predicted in this region to get worse with climate change, and the issue that I think that putting water in the pipeline will benefit many more citizens of Ashland potentially than kind of having a nice, cool, fake creek watering, you know, some trees for a relatively small number of Ashland citizens. I think the benefits are in favor of piping this, especially now that we see the financials over the lifetime of the pipeline. I have a little different take on the issue about the water rights. The CID, having been a board member of Water Watch of Oregon for over 10 years, is that, you know, the Klamath Basin water that we use is infinitesimally small compared to the Klamath Basin irrigators. So I don't know if that is a big issue, but again, the argument of the saving water speaks to that. So I would hope that we could send a strong letter to City Council in support of this.
Thank you, Brian. Any other comments or questions? Do people need a minute to read the letter? Because it's kind of jumbled up
in
there.
It's two pages, right?
There you go.
It's just one page.
It's just one page.
Okay, fine.
Instead of reading this tiny, tiny print. I love it.
Okay.
Risa, would you like to say something?
Well, I can.
Well, I should thank you, Brian, for writing the letter. I'm wondering whether we want to be bold and pick the alternative that we recommend, since there are four choices.
I think now that, I mean, did I... For me, who wrote the letter, I'd be willing to amend it with support from the commission to support our alternative one as, you know, being the best alternative for, you know, a conservation basis and, to me, seemingly fiscally responsible.
We could add that in if it's not specific enough as it is right now.
It's just that, you know, at... You know, listen to Julie's presentation.
I mean, I think this is what our charge is. This is a low-hanging fruit to engage in conservation that benefits the majority of the citizens. If there's some trade-off, that some people will have disadvantages with this.
Julie, do you have...
Well, I was just going to make a comment about, you know, if we were to get the grant, would that make a difference? You know, if you're looking at... alternative four, we're not going to get a grant for that. Mm-hmm. We're not going to get a grant for three. The only thing we would get grants for would be one or two.
And which would be, compared to not doing anything, which is alternative four, if we propose alternative one and got grants, we would actually be saving the city money in the long run.
Well, while other people are thinking or reading...
Anybody else wants to do that?
I mean, it's my paper whenever you guys are done with it.
Okay.
I'd be happy to actually write a letter to the editor about it.
Well,
if as a member of the Conservation Commission, if people supported that.
I also support the alternative one, and I think, like a lot of things Brian said, I think it's important for us to take measures to conserve water and to not continue supporting an artificial stream. And although it has some impact on some surrounding trees that have to get removed. It sounds like a lot of them have to get removed no matter what happens to the canal. And that the financial piece of it, ideally, if not nearly entirely, will somewhat be offset by some grants. But I think if we're looking in the long term, that it has long-term benefits to the community. And even if we end up with less water in the canal because of climate change or water rights, I think, like Julie said, it means it's even more important to conserve what's in there, because we will not be able to afford to lose any drops of less water coming through. So I also would support alternative one, and I think that the letter, from when I read it last, I thought was close to what we would need, but we might want to be more specific now that we've seen the alternatives numbered and put that in here if we all have a a consensus or a majority about it. First, Larry, and then we'll go back to you.
Yeah. Well, I want to say I'm persuaded by the discussion to, you know, support the plan and alternative one. And I'm happy. It says a lot to me about good process. I appreciate it, and good staff. But I think it would be, if there were a way, Brian, if you have an idea of how this might be done, to incorporate a statement about, you know, how it would make the project work much better if we got a substantial amount of grant support.
Well, we could write
support,
something in there something
that says,
like
that.
And we encourage the city to pursue any available grants.
Yeah, I guess what I'm looking at is balancing, you know, there's a lot of city projects. And I'm sure that, you know, we're not the council, so we don't have to make that choice. But in encouraging this, I think the reasons for encouraging it for conservation of water are valid and good. I think that really mitigates any negatives that you presented, Julie. But it would be really good to make some mention of the financial burden and how it appears there may be quite a number of opportunities for grant support, and those should all be aggressively pursued, I guess, which could be costly, could require a lot more staff work.
Yeah. What if we put something in there like we recognize and encourage the opportunity to pursue available grants to reduce financial impact to the city of Ashland and its residents, or something in the letter somewhere?
Do you have a sense of what type of grants money would be out there, like $1.5 million or $2 million, or do you have any sense of that? Like how much would you?
Well, a comparison. There was one that was similar size, similar length of ours, and price was about $3 million, and they covered the entire.
The state.
Yeah. What? Water Resources Department.
We have senators call.
We did have a senator call, or his office call, to tell us that there's money for this project.
So we need to hurry and decide that we're going to do it before they give the money away.
Merkley called.
Oh, cool.
His office called just to let us know that there's money.
So federal money.
Yeah. Well, yes, federal money. So that brings on another aspect
to it. That's super
important. But that's a big deal.
We have a few minutes left for this discussion. Do we have other comments? Anyone who hasn't spoken yet that want to voice any thoughts on it?
Is that the process question?
Yes.
Can, with the rules, can people, now that we've discussed this, can people send a comment to me about this letter, and then I can edit it with the things we talked about, maybe send it on to a city person like Julie, and then they can submit it to everybody, and then we approve it, and then send it?
My thought would be that we talk about anything we want to add right now, like saying that we want to add a sentence about making sure that they pursue the grant opportunities, and if we want to add a sentence specifying that we support alternative one, that we talk about it now, and then we say that we approve the letter with the amendments that were discussed, or with the revisions discussed, and we just approve it now, and then I will work with city staff to make sure that we get it into the letter and get it submitted to council.
Because
we can't vote through email.
Okay.
But you could also submit it directly to Paula.
Okay. One second. Let's hear what Reese has to say, and then unless you were going to make a motion. But there might.
I just was going to be appreciative.
Oh, do it.
Okay, Julie. And just that I appreciate the thoughtfulness that you've gone to, maybe it's easier for me to say that because, you know, it's not going to affect my property personally, but I feel like I just hear a lot of compassion and concern and the city's commitment to really want to work with homeowners, and I really appreciate that.
We did really try to put ourselves in each homeowner's shoes.
Yeah. Before we have a motion about the letter, is there anything that anyone would like to change about the letter? Were there any errors noted or things missing? Okay, just because it's easier to fix it all before we make a motion than to start with amendments. So I would be willing to entertain a motion to approve the letter of recommendation to the City Council for the Ashland Canal project specifying that we would like to support alternative number one and that we would encourage the city to pursue all available grant opportunities. If anyone would like to make that motion.
I make a motion that this commission approve the letter I wrote regarding the TID city part of the pipeline with the addition that we support alternative one as being fiscally responsible, especially in light of the fact that alternative one as opposed to the status quo alternative four sets the city up to be the likely recipients of state and federal funding.
That was a very long motion, Brian, but it was great. Would anyone like to second?
I'll second that.
Poor Elizabeth. Any discussion?
Thanks, Brian, for kicking it off for us, and Julie
for helping us.
To.
Okay.
Yeah, it's,
go ahead.
Well, would it be possible in the motion to approve it to give some latitude in case there's something we missed in it, you know, if we're not going to have a chance to go at this again before the budget process is done, but if there's a change of staff, looks at it again and says, you know, can we say minor corrections, or do we even need to do that? That could probably happen.
You mean if staff changes their perspective of the project?
No, not their perspective. No, just the text.
Oh,
just
so
the,
if you sent it to me or to Paula and she thought we should change the sentence.
Oh.
I don't know if that's needed.
I don't
okay.
know
okay,
that
good.
We'll just
okay.
It's okay for grammatical errors.
Yeah. I mean, if it's real serious, it's just not going to nitpick.
Yeah.
Okay. Real serious.
And it's already been reviewed by city staff.
Oh,
at
okay.
At least by Adam and...
Oh.
It's at least by Adam and Stu, so they put it into the memo form and helped us make it a more city language.
Right.
From what we started with.
Yeah.
Are we ready to vote? The motion's still on. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Anyone abstaining? Okay. The motion passes. So I will work with Sue and Adam and James to make sure the letter gets revised and submitted to the city council. Yes, Brian.
Can I write a current opinion or guest opinion to the paper, or would I do that just using my
I think you do it just as yourself.
Okay.
Yeah, not as a commission member.
Okay.
But you are totally welcome to. And I would imagine you're encouraged to. Well, thank you so much for
the talking about this. The city council talking about this in person. Tuesday in May.
Would you like
to mention that.
Please
do. June 16th.
Not May?
No, we're just skipping May.
June 16th is a Sunday.
Okay. Well, then how about June 17th? June 17th is going to be a listening session for council. And I don't even know if staff is going to be involved very much, but it's going to be anyone who wants to go to talk to council during our study session period at 5:30. The next meeting will be an actual study session, and staff will be presenting it in council on the 1st of July. And then they're proposing to make a decision on July 16th at their regular council business meeting at 7 o'clock.
Thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time to come and present and to help with everything and all of your help with our next topic.
Yeah, I'll stick around
this
for a bit.
This preview article.
Kevin, you can probably go.
Well, I'm
gonna go.
Thank you for
and
coming.
And thank you to Kevin for all his work,
yes.
too.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you guys are a great group. You're easy.
So for our sneak preview article this month, Julie helped to write, or I think
no,
wrote.
She wrote it.
Julie wrote an article about water conservation tips and things that was also buried in the packet, so hopefully people saw it. If you didn't have a chance, you can try to scroll and find it. But I thought it was very well written and had great tips for how to conserve water. Did anyone see anything in it that needs to be revised or edited? Or I didn't even see a grammatical error or anything.
Well, James had a good point. He said in the moisture meter section.
Oh, that's right. To say that the city is free one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would suggest that is probably good.
So do you want me to make a motion?
If you would like to, go for it.
I move that we approve Julie's article on water conservation for the May sneak preview.
July.
What year, what month are we in?
April.
Oh. It's for the June sneak preview.
Oh, well, it is. Oh, okay.
Well, that makes so much sense.
I thought it was.
Well, we go way ahead. Yeah.
Okay.
So,
do you need to change anything?
It's still relevant. June is fine.
I think it's when people start to think more about their water.
Yeah, it's that whole not to spoil your landscape is usually about May and June.
Yeah.
Because that's when we're getting the spring rain.
Did I say enough?
We're approving the article.
Yeah.
Is there a second?
I second.
Great. Any discussion?
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much for writing it, Julie.
No problem.
All those in favor of approving the water article?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? No. All right. Wonderful.
Thanks.
We got approved. Thank you very much for writing it, Julie.
Of course.
Yeah.
No problem.
Larry, I think, I don't know if you remember, when we met, I might have told you that we write monthly articles.
Yeah,
that's what we were just approving.
Yeah. No, I know. I saw that.
Okay. Comment. In the middle of that, I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I knew about
doing.
It. I did know about it.
So, as you can see, we have quite a list going right now of articles for upcoming sneak previews, and we always approve them at the meeting that's 2 months before whatever month it's published, because since we meet so late in the month, sometimes our meetings are too late to submit it, so that's why we have to do them so early. So for next month, we have Marion submitting an article about paper use reduction.
Yep.
And then for the June meeting, Stu and I are doing something about virtual net metering.
Mm-hmm.
We will do that. And then we'll have something from Marnie and someone from the community for the July meeting about climate equity. And I don't know that right now we need to add more things to the list unless someone has a hot topic that they want to get out now so we don't forget. But we've got a pretty good list running. So
I am working on putting
the
workshop together. Laura Allen said she is definitely interested in coming back. But we haven't set up a time. I was thinking it'd be later in the summer, so maybe that's an option.
Cool.
But nothing is set in stone right now.
Okay.
So.
Cool.
That's an idea.
Good. We've got a good list going, so we'll stick with it for now. The next thing on the agenda is a discussion about Empower Ashland.
Yippee.
So I'll let Sue do. Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Does anybody need to stretch their legs for a minute?
I'm going to stretch really quick, but
now that we start talking, everyone leaves the room.
I'm always ready.
Okay.
You cleared the room.
Sorry. We don't usually do
now
breaks.
We don't have quorum.
I'm a bad influence on the group.
I know. We could have gotten out early, but
I ran out.
No, I'm going to save us time by not dragging on about this plan.
Good. Finally.
I like that.
Well,
you gotta wait till people come
back. I guess I do have to wait till people come back.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I feel like this is more a discussion that James wanted to have, but then he's not here to have it, so.
Well, that's okay. It's okay.
You can start us off
and
carry
on
in the future.
You know, really, I'll say this again in a minute, but it's really about what this group wants to do and wants to take on, because I don't think I can really push anything on this group.
That's true. We're pretty rebellious. We're pretty.
So think about what you want to be telling people and how you want to be telling it, which I know you've never thought about.
Oh, Reese never tells people what she wants.
Marianne, how do you like your
mitochondria? I have a circus
piece.
I like the circus.
I wonder. Yeah, I have one of those. Different model.
That's a tough crowd there.
And it's well,
yeah.
Mine's actually pretty fast.
Look what you did to my meeting.
I'm sorry.
It was flowing so beautifully.
I thought about not saying anything, but
I
had to get more.
I'll wait
till
you start talking and then I'll go.
Okay.
I mean, it's a nice
time.
Yeah, it's a nice time.
Oh, yeah.
The surface is a little more
even fair.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll talk really
back to business.
Okay.
Everyone.
So,
I won't drag on about it, but so the Empower Plan was, let me zoom out for just a minute. So when we wrote the SEEP, there was an action in there that said, create a public outreach plan, period. That was pretty much it. So when I got together with SEEP 2, which was the second ad hoc committee, basically the whole of 2018, this was one of the topics that we discussed. We came up with this plan, which we were calling Empower, which was the advertising campaign, basically, for the climate plan, which SEEP doesn't sound very nice. So we came up with Empower as being like more of a inspiring, I guess, and less drippy. So, you know, basically, I have been, to the extent that I'm able to do outreach at my job, like trying to keep stuff on the website, but really, I was expecting to have funds to hire people to deal with the marketing outreach aspect of it, at least for the public high visibility stuff and like running a social media campaign and that kind of thing, which is pretty time intensive to do properly, and I'm also not an expert in that. So, but with the budget woes and whatnot, it became apparent that that funding was not going to be there for me. So I've sort of limped this along until the next commission comes together, which looks like now will be hopefully in July that group convenes, just for the speed of legislating the group and whatnot. But stuff is already happening. We're trying to recruit people to be on that already, and so I think that the policy part is kind of moving along, even though the group hasn't coalesced yet. But they will not be involved, if I have anything to do with it, in any outreach, because that's not their job. That's what this group is hoping to do, I'm hoping will help with. So my new plan, in lieu of having a city communications person, which we don't have anymore, and in lieu of my private company doing outreach, I have applied to get an AmeriCorps volunteer for 11 months beginning in September, and it's looking pretty likely that that's going to happen. So my intention with that is to make them the outreach person. So I can help them, and you know, together we can conquer, and I can stay focused on policy stuff and internal city stuff, and they can help coordinate communication and events around the climate plan. So that's my current thinking. And whatever that becomes, I hope that person will interface with this group as much as I do. That would be my plan. So considering that staff will continue to do what we can with the time and resources we have, there's still much more to be done. And so the question is really, what does this group feel like raising their hand for? Because I'd rather that y'all opt into something rather than me drop it on the table and then not have it be exciting or not have it go anywhere. So the question now, I guess, is would you guys like me to flip through this plan and just tell you what the components are, or has everybody read it to their satisfaction?
I would appreciate it.
Okay. So very simply, this is statement of the problem, which basically is that there's a lot of people in Ashland that we haven't reached, who never came to the workshops or open houses, who may or may not care about climate or energy issues. And yet we would like to communicate to them a couple of things. One, that we have a plan. Two, that they should read at least the highest level part of it. And then three, to try to kick them into doing some kind of action, which last year with CEEP2 group, we talked about having them, you know, a suggested first action would be to do a household carbon calculation. That may or may not be the best place to recommend people go now in 2019. I'm open to suggestion. But those were the three things we were going to say, hey, everybody, we have a plan. Why don't you read it? And doing an inventory is a great way to start for your household. So that was the highest level messaging that we worked out. We cut it down to five only targeted audiences. but with the understanding that we are also trying to reach everyone in Ashland. But for the sake of having a place to begin, we said local contractors, HVAC, plumbing, general contractors, Ashland youth were identified, local car dealers, even though we don't have any in-city limits, we identified them as a key audience we need to reach out to, owners of buildings in Ashland, and then various groups in the region who are also working on climate. So those are the five categories of people we said we wanted to make sure to hit. We didn't expressly include, you know, like any equity stuff in there. We didn't say, you know, make sure to include all disadvantaged people, although that's part of the seat to try to do that. But for the sake of this advertising campaign, that's kind of how the committee voted to rank the first five. And initially I was saying, let's do three, and then it was four, and then it was five, and I was like, all right, that's enough. So that's how we ended up with five target audiences. Now, we had, this document is a little dated. I haven't kept it up to date because it didn't seem like we had a way to execute it. But we did set a few objectives for 2018-2019, which was basically to establish an online presence, which would have been a branded presence, this empowered presence, rather than just the city website. I still think that's a good idea. Use print and online media to engage all Ashland households and target audiences, facilitating public events to educate residents and encourage engagement. So that's pretty broad, but like place to start, what are we going to do in this 2018-2019? Get online, let's send everybody a postcard, let's have some events. So that was where the committee sort of arrived at, would be sensible scope for that 12 to 18 month period. And then we would ostensibly regroup at the end of that time period and say, okay, how'd that go, now what? So we created a bunch of actions that would help accomplish those objectives. You know, make the website, make a social media campaign, make a postcard or mailer of some kind, write educational correspondence, like a letter. Identify community stories. That was kind of a cool one that I was really interested in, to actually seek out people who have done stuff and get their take on it. And then we can present that. I think that would actually be a great angle for this group to take on. Coordinate, develop, and publish an article series that walks citizens through the theory and practice of taking climate action. So we already make an article series here. If there was interest, we could retool that for this purpose, but I don't want to like command that be so, because this is your commission. Facilitate public action. So we said that we would develop and deliver a talk and or presentation that explains the climate plan. Facilitate other events like Road Climate or whomever so can to help increase engagement. And facilitate meetings with those groups directly to discuss strategy. And so some of these things are already happening on some level, but they're not happening as climate plans branded, which I don't really care about branding personally. I just care that people get the message and engage with it. But as far as branding goes, I think this is an okay brand to stick with if we wanted to do that. So that's kind of about as far as that committee got. We identified some of the typical channels we would use to communicate. Also, I came up with some messaging, which we're not beholden to. I won't go into that here. I made a couple of just pretend flyers, expecting that we would have some like awesome graphic designer come behind me and like, you know, make better. But this was just like a stand-in, right? To say, here's what we could do. We say, tell people electric cars are fun and we'll save them money. Oh yeah, this is my Shakespeare, shall I compare thee to a summer's day, and like what the average summer temperature looks like, and like I actually tried to find out what was the average summer temperature back in England, back around that time, and I couldn't get, because I thought that would be interesting, it was probably cool and breezy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, we're looking at...
Jamie's like, I was there.
Their climate
cool
is very different than ours.
But I think it was it was like right after one of the warming periods happened, so I don't know. Anyway. So that's it. That's all that's in this plan, which is really just an outline to get a marketing firm on board. I subsequently talked to a couple of different firms that are interested. Of course, they all cost a lot of money, and I'm sure they would do a great job. So my questions for you folks really are on this page. You know, if we say that this group is going to be doing some climate outreach, like, what do you want to do? What is exciting? What will you do off hours if you, and feel good about?
Look at you.
Hey.
You got people all excited.
I'm all fired up.
I got some fans going. Risa and Larry.
I'm a little slow, but from where I'm sitting, it's hard for me. Like, I look at what the commission has been doing.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have talked about continuing to do, and empower Ashland is a way to accentuate what we're already doing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what kind of, I get confused or when it's like, well, what else? And it's just like, well, let's,
yeah.
I mean, the projects that we're involved with seem meaningful and worth doing. Whether or not they're going to hit all the points, they probably aren't.
Yeah, totally.
But I think that whatever it is that we are able to integrate what we are doing with what we're going to continue to do and what we're going to tweak.
Mm-hmm.
I have some thoughts that might go along that line.
Maybe
I'll let
I'm
Larry
not saying it well.
Well, why don't you continue that discussion? Mine's a little bit different.
Okay.
An idea for something, but not on the thread.
My one thought on it, Stu brought this because James asked him to, but I feel like it's slightly premature because I know that at the next meeting, James wants to talk about us scheduling a time to do our goal setting for the year. And so I have two thoughts on it. One is that we already talked, I believe last meeting, about starting like an outreach and marketing subcommittee that Marion, I'm pretty sure, was going to be on. I can't remember who else said they wanted to be on it. But we talked about having a subcommittee that would work more on those pieces. But I also think that we would need to kind of do our goal setting and talk about, like, going into the next year, what do we want to prioritize as a commission to figure out, is it something that we have a subcommittee who's working more on these outreach pieces, or is it something that we work into the subcommittees that are doing waste prevention and water, which I don't feel like those subcommittees have the capacity to do the programs we're doing and to do the outreach. So I feel like it's a subcommittee that's doing the outreach. I don't think it means that we couldn't. James and Sue came up with some kind of prompting questions to help us start to process and think about what we would want our outreach as a commission to look like. So I think we could still have that discussion as a commission, but I don't think we would be doing the outreach as a full commission. I think we'd need a subcommittee who works on it outside of commission meetings and then brings us things that we would provide feedback on and approve. But I also feel like it's a little premature before we do goal setting. That's just my thought.
Yeah. Well, the only thing I was going to bring up, I just had the thought because of the time of year that having, you know, a presence in the 4th of July parade that could be used, you know, which is always hard. It would only be the people that, what?
We used to have one, but it was always just me and Risa, and we
have
been doing
well,
it. Tom
okay.
Beam,
I mean,
and Tom Beam helped.
You got one more person.
We only had
it.
A few people who would always do it, and those of us who were doing it didn't do it because we wanted to. We did it because
we were
trying to please the commission, so we stopped.
Yeah, I think it's only good
no
to
one
do
else
it.
Wanted
people
to
think
do
it would be fun. If they don't, forget it.
Yeah, if people want to do it, you're welcome to.
Yeah.
I don't really care to.
Mm-hmm.
But if people wanted to, it's one way to do things. Welcome,
yeah.
David.
Oh, yeah, are you looking at me like...
I'm looking at you. Right?
Oh,
you
wow.
He's
my day starts
there.
At 5
okay.
a.m. on 4th of July, and I ended about 6:30.
Yeah. You're already
everything
doing
I have
it.
On my plate
yeah.
that day.
Yeah,
yeah, we found we
yeah.
couldn't get
yeah.
enough commissioners
right.
to, like... commit and show up and do something.
I have
sorry,
some,
I derailed your
no,
question.
Not at all.
Go for
it's
it.
All related.
Yeah.
If there's more questions, we do that, but I have more comments to make too.
I just wonder, like, when you develop these audiences, and it kind of gets back to maybe a question, like, who do we need to reach the most?
Mm-hmm.
And
one of them you have is Ashland Building Owners. And
yes.
I'm wondering, like, did you subdivide that? Is that homeowners or business owners? And did you then subdivide it? Like, is this,
I think it was
1,200 square foot homes versus 3,500 to 10,000 square foot homes? And is it big box retailers like Bi-Mart versus Travel Essentials and that type of thing?
Yeah. We're just identifying building owners as a key decision maker for any building, really, and that they were a subset that we wanted to reach because they have the decision-making power to make upgrades on their buildings. And that's one of the things, when I think about climate and emissions, there's basically three categories in Ashland that we identified in the last inventory. A full half of the emissions are consumption, just stuff we buy. The other half of the pie is split pretty evenly between transportation and building energy use. So thinking about those three categories, with consumption, we can, of course, educate, but we don't have a lot of policy options to make those emissions go down. So looking at the other half of the pie for policy options, transportation is already changing really rapidly. I don't know that we could legislate faster than transportation is changing on its own. So I feel really optimistic about transportation emissions generally, because technology is helping us out there. But there's going to be, nobody's going to come 20 years from now and help us fix our buildings. You know, we got to do that ourselves.
So building owners includes commercial and residential?
Yeah, all buildings. Because the building owners have to make those choices about, well, is it going to be electric or gas? Am I going to invest in windows or just keep the rent cheap? You know, so there's a lot of decisions that they can make, which we can help maybe change the course a bit through some direct outreach.
But then, you know, thinking about it down the road a bit, I'm almost envisioning, especially, you know, as maybe the new committee, the new commission, and then this one, which I think is passive education, you know, maybe almost a new, like subcommittee to figure out who the target audience is and how to, like, reach them.
Yeah, well, I hope the communication subcommittee could do that, I think. Is that what we're calling it?
I think we're calling it our outreach, marketing and outreach or something. Outreach and education. We're calling it Marion's Marionette. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that smaller group is a great place to get together and kind of cook up what this group might want to put its fingerprints on. I have some ideas about what I think makes sense, but I didn't want to throw those out before I heard what y'all were thinking, because I like to know what people are thinking, and I hear enough of myself all day long. So.
Go ahead, Mary.
I guess I'm not very clear about what needs to be done in the full commission and what can and should be done in a subcommittee. If all these questions for the Conservation Commission are in fact really questions for a subcommittee, I think that's fine as long as there is good participation in the subcommittee. But my understanding is that we're talking about having a goal-setting session, that this deep outreach needs to be one of our primary goals.
Right.
And I feel like maybe we need, I don't know, I just don't know the process. It seems to me we really need pretty full participation in it.
Sure.
No problem with having the details worked out or ideas put together by a subcommittee, but yeah, this is a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It needs to be a big deal, or it's not going to work. I don't know if it's going to work anyway, but it needs to be a big deal.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I could certainly speak to a lot of these individual questions, but it sounds like maybe that's not what we want to do tonight, that we want to perhaps leave details of that for a subcommittee. And so if I'm the one person on the subcommittee, I'll start right.
Well, I'll be there with you, although I'm not, okay. I can't vote on that. But
yeah, you won't be the only one. There will be, it sounds like Larry might be interested, and I think there were others. But I agree that this is a discussion. Like, these questions we should talk about as a full commission, but I think they would be things that would be good to do. I'm not the chair anymore, so it's not my decision, but I would think they'd be good things to talk about at a goal-setting session. And like you said, the kind of bigger conversation about would be had as a full commission, and then the subcommittee would work more on, like, messaging, you know, coming up with little blurbs that we'd want to send out, or with sample flyers or things like Stu made, or coming up with different strategies that you'd bring to the full commission, and we would help provide feedback and or approve it. But so the subcommittee will work on more of the detail things and then feed back up into the full commission. But I don't know that we have the, I don't know entirely what James's plan with having us talk about it tonight was.
Well, it was mostly me just trying to get the subcommittee going, I guess.
Yeah.
Mostly. Because we, you know, we have, there's no deadline, but it's not, we don't want to just let it linger forever. So anytime we can try to find a time to set a meeting up and then just get things
going.
Maybe
Larry and I should just come and talk to you for a while, and whoever else thinks they might be interested in being on the subcommittee.
Just make sure if you have more than two commissioners, we have to publicly notice it. If there's only two, you can just have a meeting. But just so other people know, if you decide to go, to make sure you let someone know, you don't just show up, so we can make sure we notice it appropriately.
Is that the rough rule then about email communications? If you send it to more, you can't send it to more than two people on this committee?
If you talk to the lawyer, he'll tell you that you can't have
just
any
don't do
at
it.
All. Yeah.
You can't even talk to one other commissioner. Not in an official capacity. I mean, you could go, because that's a meeting.
Okay.
Meetings, any meeting.
Yeah.
Risa, did you have something?
I had a question.
You didn't ask it.
So we're planning on talking about goal setting at the next meeting?
I think he wants to talk about a date to do goal setting.
Okay, so I would just like to throw out there is part of the reason that we didn't do any kind of major goal setting last year was because of the transitional place that we were in, and that currently we are still transitioning into what we're going to be. And I'm just putting out there that I don't know that it makes sense to me to even discuss goal setting until we have gotten the charge from council about what we're going to be doing. I'm just for efficiency.
I second that motion.
Good information for James.
James is in charge of the goal setting thing.
Okay, well,
I have a response, which is even if this commission stays the same and there's no changes, I would still ask this group to please stitch the thread of climate through all of the offerings.
Sure.
And I think we still have people who are not currently on. Well, you're kind of working with the water group,
me?
Yeah.
Oh, air quality.
Air quality. But we have some people who are interested in having an outreach subcommittee, no matter what happens moving forward.
And I support that.
Yeah.
I just don't want to put the cart before the horse with our efforts, so that the time that we spend together, we're using our time as good as possible. And
understood.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it sounds like we're on a similar page.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Does that sound okay to people? It's not a super clear path, but I'm trying not to also set too clear of a path. So it's not my. I'm not the leader anymore.
So you have a vote, just like
each
of us does.
So we will continue it on. I think that these are good prompting questions that maybe between now and our next meeting, people, if you didn't see this in the packet had so much in it this month, it was really easy to lose things. In it are this page with a few questions on it that are really good questions to kind of start to think about, to maybe come to the next meeting and definitely before our goal setting, with some ideas of like who we'd want to reach out to, how we would want to do it, so that we can start incorporating that in what we're doing. Yeah.
I'd like to request Elizabeth sending that out to us again, and maybe hoping that they'll be less accompanied with it. So
just that.
And there was a couple of repetitive questions because they kind of got cobbled from a few emails.
Yeah.
So just if there's something repetitive, just
great.
Don't criticize.
Thank you.
Think about it
twice. Yeah. Good job too.
You too.
Okay. Thank you very much, Brian.
Thank you,
everybody.
Thanks for doing the work.
David showed up and Brian said, "Oh no." Oh gosh, there goes the old dude.
Okay.
So I guess I can wrap up, I think, unless there's more questions, to say that we will find time, I will find time to connect with the new subcommittee, and we can talk about some initial ideas and bring that back next meeting, probably.
Okay.
I have a little technical question.
Yeah,
you know, I see there's a conference room in here. Is it, does this commission have support if someone knows they're going to be absent, but they're otherwise available virtually to participate?
I know we've asked this question in the past, and I can't remember what the city's official answer was.
I don't know.
I don't know. I think it's okay, but we'd have to check with legal.
Like saying that, of course, you can call in and that maybe they don't let it count towards quorum, which wouldn't be an issue if we have quorum anyway, but I don't know for sure.
Well, it'd be great
someone
to get an
check.
Answer to that. That's
That's a good question.
Yeah. I can't remember. I know that we've had this issue.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm on other boards where that's done and Tom's report.
Oh, yeah.
I'll email them.
Jude's
going to
find out.
I'll just email them right now.
That's a very good question.
Yeah. So I haven't. One thing to just to make sure I really understand this. So if Larry and I wanted to set up a meeting with Stu, I could email Larry and Stu and that would be okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Stu isn't a
commissioner.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's staff.
And even if a third person wanted to go with you, you could still just email among you to determine a meeting time, but then you just want to make sure that either Stu lets someone know or that you tell Elizabeth here's where we're meeting and when,
so
that they can let people know.
Yeah.
And it has to be in
an
accessible place, somewhere that is ADA accessible.
Let's do it before anybody.
Thank you, Stu, for the Empower update, and we'll keep starting to incorporate it.
The only other one, this last thing I would say is this: I don't expect that this group carry the Empower flag. Like, if we just want to do outreach and talk about climate, that's totally fine. I don't want to build the expectation that we have to continue this thing. Although I think it's not a bad thing. I just don't want to we have options.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. The next thing on the agenda is our subcommittee updates. Water is first up. Do we have any updates from water?
Just super quick. I met with Julie and Sierra, who also works at the city, and she's planning a laundry to landscape workshop for later in the summer, but you know, it's not official, it's just in process, and we'll keep you all posted as trying to figure out the details. And I forget the name of the woman, she mentioned her name, who's upstate, who's a great teacher in water. Who?
Was it Laura Allen?
That sounds good.
Something closer.
My really good friend Laura Allen Julie's arranging for her to come down to teach the class again. So
come up, right? She lives in the Bay.
Oh, I don't know why I thought she was up.
She's
going
to come over for summer.
Yeah, she's going to go the right direction though.
Yeah, here.
Her here.
Cool.
So
good.
That's it.
Good work. Next up is waste prevention. Does someone want to give that update, or you want me to?
Go ahead.
Great.
Okay.
So we have four people on our committee, which, by the way, for the new commissioner is our max, so that we don't have quorum on a subcommittee. And we decided to divide and conquer because we're trying to do so many things on that subcommittee that we've all been kind of like working on one and letting the other kind of fall away and then switching it up. So Marnie and Jamie are going to kind of take on the Straws on Demand program that we launched a year ago now. And we did a pilot for 3 months, and then we kind of got busy with other things. So they're going to pick it back up and start reaching out to the people who participated before to find out if they're still doing it and if they need any support, and then to start reaching out to additional partners to try to get more businesses in town to voluntarily only offer straws on demand and ideally not offer plastic straws at all. And then Reese and I are focusing more on the the grant that we got with STU from the Department of Environmental Quality to pilot reusable takeout boxes for a certain number, a certain few restaurants in town that we're working with for this pilot. We have 5 partners total, and we're starting to look at how we're going to roll out this program to see if it can work for our community in a way that businesses would, there'd be more than one business doing it. So we were kind of splitting things up a little bit to try and make more progress. Yes. And the recycling baskets downtown are just doing themselves. And I don't know if we've actually talked to Stu or Adam about it, but we decided that we should just put baskets everywhere and
see what happens. And apologize later.
I have a whole box of baskets.
We should just put them on every trash can, except for the one by Yogurt Hut and Starbucks.
I mean, but
can you make a map of the addresses
yes.
that need?
I can do that.
Okay. Once upon a time, I had one. You could be.
Really?
Yeah.
A map of the trash can? Oh, they pick them up.
Of the, I think there's a map of the ones that exist, but the ones that need are the.
I can.
But there are locations that it isn't appropriate to.
Yeah.
Attach
so we'll send
basket.
Them. I'll send you a list of addresses.
Great. And we'll have to print more signs, of course, which are like $15 or $20 a piece, but...
Well, if you go and collect some cans and bottles, you'll be okay. 200. Sorry, Stu.
Okay. Wait, you're the recycling center.
I know.
Person.
I could. It only takes us a month or two to get that much money. We can do it.
A month or two?
We get about $100 to $200 a month.
I think there's only one.
No, a week. I'm sorry.
I was going to say.
A week.
I think there's one basket that I noticed needs repair.
Okay.
Somewhere in the plaza, I can't remember which one it was.
Huh. I didn't notice it. I usually look.
Yeah.
Well, we'll keep working on that, too.
If you notice anything, let me know. Do you know if Katie Gomez is still doing
She's
her
not.
Rounds? Okay. I figured not, but...
Yeah.
Okay.
I should have communicated that. She
Perfect.
Sent me an email.
Mm. It's all good.
And we don't have a waste prevention subcommittee meeting scheduled right now, but we'll probably schedule one before we leave tonight. Air quality? Do you have any updates?
Well, we've been buying more equipment at the school district, but as far
I mean
as
for the subcommittee.
No, as far as the subcommittee, they haven't
You guys haven't met? Well. What do you mean they? You're part of it.
Yeah, that's true. I should
You had a meeting by yourself, but no one else came. You just had an internal subcommittee meeting.
Absolutely.
You can totally initiate. I mean, you actually,
you
in your subcommittee, what the person who's chair of the subcommittee helps to be the initiator. You could nominate yourself as the chair. Of the
I think I just heard you do it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was amazing.
We could bless you right here.
Nightmare.
I have a small update about the go-backs thing.
Oh, okay.
Like,
oh. We're going to rewind back to
sorry.
Our waste prevention. That's okay. I didn't have any updates.
I meant to say it, but then there was some
interruption.
Yeah. Which is, I have been communicating with Jocelyn and sent her a revised overview of our low-tech proposal, and she is going to think about it a little bit and send us a proposal from her business to see if that would work for us.
So for those who aren't on the subcommittee, we've
oh, right.
been talking to GoBox Portland, or PDX, whatever they call it, GoBox PDX, and they've been talking to us because they were interested in possibly franchising out, or whatever you say, to do like a GoBox Ashland version. And we decided, after hearing our presentation, that the exact service that they offer doesn't quite fit Ashland. But we're talking to her about doing, because it requires you to only do things through an app on your phone, and if you don't have a smartphone, you can't participate. So we're talking to her now about a different option that would allow us to not require smartphones to use the program, because we think with our population, there's a lot of people who would want to use it that either don't have a smartphone or it's just really cumbersome for them to figure out how to do things with an app and how to scan QR codes. And sorry.
So no, it's fine. So the low-tech version is just having some kind of physical token, and you buy into the program, you get your box, you take your box back, you get a token. So it's just like, you know, if you can redeem that anywhere, and it'll fit in your pocket where the box will.
Yeah.
So she's going to send a proposal. She also said that she put some GoBox tokens in
sign-up forms in the mail just for us to check out. And so when I have those, I will show them to you.
Cool. Good.
Oh, and the grant, the agreement.
Did it get signed?
Yeah, we finalized the grant agreement with DEQ, and we're just waiting for the money.
Well, they won't give us money until
It's reimbursement. Right?
Yeah.
So,
we can start shopping.
Yeah.
You didn't seem as excited about that.
No, I was thinking about the participant agreement, but we didn't talk about that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The next thing we had, which I thought we already talked about last month, was the plastic wrapped trash that gets dropped at people's
We were waiting.
Adam was going to come back with
and
that.
And give us more of an update
next month
than
Adam.
What we already had. Okay. So we'll keep it on the docket for next month.
Yep.
I know that he had communicated with Rosebud.
I have a question.
Yeah. Yes, Louise?
I think they stopped sending it.
That would be fabulous. Maybe because I know Adam said he reached out to them.
And Adon and I have really reached out to Mail Tribune.
Good.
Yeah, I haven't seen one in quite a while.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, it might be like how this happened last time, where when it got brought up and the city reached out and said, hey,
and
people don't like this, and they stopped for a while, then they ramped back up. So keep an eye on it. Let us know what happens. We'll still ask Adam for an update next month.
Mm-hmm. But there's some stockpiled just like down the street from me. There's like three different colors. No one lives there. And there's these, there's at least three plastic sleeves kind of fresh.
Mm.
So.
Why don't you, can you collect them and look at the circular? Let me know.
Okay.
I'll take it somewhere.
Great.
I'll call the whoever sent it.
Cool. Okay.
Good. Did you have a
no,
new item?
I was just admiring the fact that we're 10 minutes ahead of schedule.
That's because I'm running late.
That is true.
You're exactly on time.
I am?
Yeah, because we skipped 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, because we didn't have any public late. So for the next agenda, just in case there's anything else that people want to add to the list for James to consider, we still have the BPA update from Adam on the list. A discussion about public meeting laws, because the city had a workshop that Risa went to on behalf of the commission. So she and Adam are going to give us an update on all the things that we need to know to not be breaking the law, which is helpful.
Yeah, and I've retained all
probably
that information.
All of it, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing.
We're going to add the city operations and administration update back from Adam and Stu. Talk about goal setting and possibly having a presentation from someone who is working on Laurel Street cottages. So they're some kind of a like cottage construction
development
plan.
What's his
for
name?
Net Zero Cottage Housing down by Laurel Street.
What's his name?
Mark Knox.
Yeah. I suggested to him that he come and
he
talk to
out.
Us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as long as we have room. Those are the things that are on the agenda. Is there anything that's not listed there that anyone would like to add to
the sneak preview, whatever it is?
Well, that'll be on there, too.
Well,
that's part of our ongoing
know.
Business.
Okay, then.
And subcommittee updates will be on there.
And maybe David will have something to share with us.
I have stuff. I have one post-announcement, if I may.
Oh, okay. Like an adjourned meeting announcement?
No.
Like you want it off the record or on
the
record?
No, on
the
record.
Okay.
Post?
Which is, well, because we already missed I missed the announcements. I said something, but I just remembered something also important that I wanted to share with you folks,
okay.
Which is that the Pacific Division of the AAAS, which is the American
Association
for Advanced Science, is having their 100th annual meeting in Ashland.
Wow.
Right, actually, the same June Wednesday that we should be here. So I will probably not be here at that night because I think I'll be committed to some event. And also I'm coming up for a river trip, so see you here.
You're mumbling again.
You're going to clone yourself.
Yeah, so anyway, that starts June 18th, I believe, and continues through the 21st or 22nd. So several days, you know, James.
Yep.
they're trying to make it a sustainable event as much as they can.
Right.
Or at least they were talking
and
about.
I talked to him this morning. They have very ambitious scheduling ideas, like 4 days all day long for covering 300 people that are here. After that. So I just only mention it because I think you find folks might have an interest in attending some of those events. So we may think about rescheduling this meeting that we, if we wanted to do it, but I am kind of against that in theory. Just for keeping consistency is nice. Right?
And summer is so tricky anyway.
Right. So we should just double check.
But we can at least let people know what's happening at that thing.
Absolutely. Yes.
Cool.
Thank you. That is all.
Is there anything else for the good of the record? Meeting is adjourned.
Hey.
Thanks,
Robert. Good job, everyone. 10 minutes early. That's perfect timing for public forum.
I'm pretty flexible now.
That means I really did call without public forum.
Schedule.
What is it?